Today's Shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amar Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. It says the Gemara Amar of Zachari ben Ketzav. The Mishnah says the Mishnah teaches us, as we had learned extensively in our previous Shir, who can and who cannot say testimony that one's woman who was kidnapped is Tohar. It says the Mishnah Amar of Zachari ben Ketzav. Hamon is I can make a shvua in the name of Hashem who dwells in the base of Migdash. Loizaza yadi mitaych yadi. I was able to protect my wife the entire time that she was kidnapped. From the entire duration they were there. It says the Gemara, made of Atzmai. A person cannot say testimony to something that affects he himself. And as the Shita explains, this is not a situation of a Pesha Asa Pesha Itter, because Pesha Asa Pesha Itter, explains the Shita, is only in a case where we don't know anything without the testimony of this individual who's coming to say testimony. But in the case of our Gemara, they were well aware that Yerushalayim was under siege, so it wasn't a situation of Pesha Asa Pesha Itter, and therefore he could not be believed. But there's an interesting vart from the Bnei Yisoscha. The Bnei Yisoscha says that we know that we await Beher B'Yameinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us out of the skolos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he takes us out of the skolos, will bring us back to be his nation. But asks the Bnei Yisoscha, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered a Kohen, and we have been in the skolos all these years, so we're certainly considered kidnapped. And we've been learning in our sugyas, asked the Bnei Yisoscha, that a woman who is kidnapped may not return to her husband who's a Kohen. So asked the Bnei Yisoscha, how will we be able to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after this terrible galus if we are kidnapped? So he quotes, the halacha is that if the Kohen himself was the one who redeemed his wife who was kidnapped, then that's a proof that his wife is indeed Tohar. And the reason is because the Gemara says in a number of places in Shas, L'shada inshi zuzi b'chdi, people don't waste money. So if the Kohen himself redeemed his wife, that is a clearly indication that there's no issue with this wife. Explains the Bnei Yisoscha, who is going to be the one that's going to take us out of the Golus? HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidoi b'atzmai is going to be the one to take us out of the Golus. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidoi b'atzmai is going to take us out of the Golus, so that is a case where the Kohen, Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could take us, Klal Yisrael, back to him. Tana, says the Brisa, Avpi, Cain, even though the Chachamim said that Zechariah ben Akatzav cannot remain with his wife, Yichalai Beis B'chatzeroi, he designated a home in his chatzar where she shall live, Kshiyotza, and she would leave the chatzar, she would be Yotza B'Rosh B'Nah, she would always be careful to be the first to go out before the children, so there would never be a situation that he and she should remain alone. And the same thing would be, says the Gemara, she nechneses, when she came back, nechneses b'soipa, now that she was always, she came back in a way that her children were always in front of her, and he and she should not remain alone. Actually, this Gemara is used for a discussion that many people sometimes ask, and that is regarding yichud in an elevator. The question is if a man and a woman are alone in an elevator, is there an issue of yichud? Most poskim are lenient, and they say that if it's an elevator with two heterim, one heter is that if it's an elevator that's certainly going to stop before the shear of yichud, and the shear of yichud is the time that it takes for a man and a woman to have relations, anywhere from 3 minutes to 7 minutes. If the door is certainly going to open before that amount of time, there is no issa yichud. Or another heter is if it's the type of elevator where it could stop on any floor. If there's somebody waiting on one of the floors of the building and they press the button, the elevator will stop. So since that is a situation where the people who are in the elevator have no idea when the elevator door will open, so many Paiskim, Michas Yitzchak, Mishnah Halachas are of the opinion that that's considered a situation of Pesach Pesuch Rishus Rabim. If one is alone in a place which has an opening to the Rishus Rabim, that is not considered a situation of Yichud. And that's why, in this case, that's why they say, being alone in the elevator with the conditions that we just mentioned, there is no Issa Yichud. But now, the question that they ask is, what about the case that we're learning in our Gemara, where Zechariah ben Ketzav did not remain with his wife, even for this very small amount of time that it takes for them to walk in and out of the courtyard? If there's no Issa Yichud, unless they're there for the Zman, why were they so careful? So of course one could suggest they were just being careful lefnim mishur sadin, more than the halacha requires. But there is a fundamental difference, explained the Paiskim, between the case that we are discussing and the case of the yichud and the elevator. The difference is, in the case that we're discussing, yes, they went in and out of the chatzar quite quickly, but they could have potentially remained there longer. They could have stayed longer. And therefore, in any situation, even though the plan is not to remain there for a long amount of time, there is a concern of yichud. Whereas in the elevator, where the door is certainly going to open, and it's not in my control to stop it from opening, then the halacha is there is no yichud. Baya Abaya. So now Abaya asks the question. A kohen that divorced his wife, the halacha is that kohen can never remarry his wife, because as we know, a kohen may not marry a grusha, even if it's his own grusha. So ask the Gemara, Baya Abaya, Ma lasas the grusha say? Does the halacha allow a kohen to live with his grusha in the same chatzar? And the Gemara explains the question. Hasa mina mishnah, hud mishvuya kilu. But when we speak about a shvuya, then we're not so machmer, because as we keep on learning in our sugyas, we find that Chazal were so lenient in different issues when it comes to shvuya. Aval hacha, when we're speaking about a kohen and his divorcee, which the Torah, of course, is very strict about, loy, and we would not allow them to live in the same chatzar. Oidem aloy shema, tashma, says one of the Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Hamagarasis ishtoi, even a Yisroel who divorces his wife, and now she married somebody else, loy tinosei bishchunosei, they should not live in the same neighborhood. But Rashi explains, this is only in a situation where she already married someone else, because now she's an Eishes Ish. If she hasn't married someone else, we could be a little more lenient when it's Yisroel. Vaya Koyin, but if the husband and wife that are divorced are Koyin, and as we just explained, a Koyin can never be in the same name, can never remarry his divorcee, then Allah is like Tidi Mavi, they're not allowed to live in the same Mavi. A Mavi is the same alleyway. Now, Tosfos discusses what would be halacha if there is a Rishus Rabim dividing their homes. Then Tosfos says that they can live in the same Mavi. Once it involves a public thoroughfare dividing them, the halacha is more lenient. However, the Ramah quotes the Trumas Hadeshin that says, even though there are conditions, as we just mentioned, and other conditions that we will mention, when a husband and his divorcee can live in the same neighborhood, says the Ramah, if they are the only Jews that live in the same, that live in that town, that village, he says, then we always have to be machmer. We only can be lenient in a place where there are other Jews, and when one would go to the other, it would be quite public. Vimhaya Kayan, but taught about in my mother, they may not live in the same mother. Vimhaya Bakfar Cotton, that if they live in a small village, says the Marazaya Maisa, there was such a situation where Kayan divorced his wife and they lived in the same village. Vama Kfar Cotton needn't kishruanam. A small village is considered like the same neighborhood, and therefore they cannot live in that same neighborhood. Ask the Braisa, ask the Gemara, if you have a husband and wife both living in the same neighborhood, and now one of them has to move because they got divorced, who is the one that has to move? Toshma says the Braisa, the Tanya, he netchus miplanov, then who netchus miplanero. He has to move, she has to move, and not her. But if the chotzer belonged to her, then the halach is who netchum mipneo. Then he has to move. Ibailu hoisa chotzer shneim. But let's say this chotzer that they have belongs to both of them. And the Rishonim explain: not only does it belong to both of them, but they both live in the same chotzer. So now, what will be the halacha? Mahu toshma he netchus mipneov. She always has to move. Ask the Gemara, what does this Braisa mean? But my skin, exactly what are the circumstances that the Braisa speaks about? Ilaim b'chotzer shaloi, if it's his chotzer, pshita, that he doesn't have to leave his property for her. Ela b'chotzer shalo, it's her property. V'otanya, but ask the Gemara, im ha'y chotzer shalo, if she owns the property, hu netcha mipaneo, he has to move. Elav, it must be speaking about Haigavna, that it belongs to both of them. And that's when the Braisa teaches us that since it belongs to both of them, she has to move. Ask the Gemara, that isn't necessarily a proof. Because, says the Gemara, it isn't necessarily a proof. Because Dilma, the Braisa is speaking about B'de'ega Meger. They both rented in the same chotzer. And that's when since they're both renting and one has to give up the apartment, so we'll say the wife has to give up the apartment. My havala. So now the Gemara says, Nana, we've said that this Braisa does not necessarily speak about a place that they both own the chotzer. So ask the Gemara, what is the halacha when they both own the same chotzer, the partners of the chotzer? Who has to move because of whom? Toshma. The Pasuk says that when Chizkiyo was given over to Sancheriv Malach Ashur, the Pasuk says, Hinem Hashem Metatecha Tatela Gever. Don't believe that you'll be secure. Rather, you're going to be moved around. Amarav, why is it called Tatela Gavra? Says the Gemara, because we learn from here, Tatula the Gavra Koshim et Itasa. It's much more difficult for a man to move than for a woman to move. And the Radak explains, people typically have more pity on a woman than on a man. So if a woman is forced to move, there'll be people that will have pity on her. If the man is forced to move, no one will have pity on her. So we see from here how Chazal were so concerned about keeping a husband and a wife who once married separated from each other, because if they're going to be in the same neighborhood, there's a real concern that they may end up doing something that they're not allowed to do. Says the Sefer Imri Elimelech. If we see that Chazal was so concerned about people being in the wrong place, because being in the wrong place could have terrible repercussions, how Mida Toiva, Merubah Mida Pronius, and a person should try to live in the right place. And when a person lives in the right place, as it says in Pirkei Avos, have a goyla makom Torah. If a person lives in a makom Torah, of course it will have a very positive influence on him and on his family. Tana Rabbanan, lova himena b'nechsei avoya. He owes his former wife money. He had borrowed money from her from assets that she had from her father's family. What's the halacha? Says the halacha ein nefras. When she comes back, when he pays her, he should only pay a day acher. That means they should appoint a shliach. Somebody, a go-between, should be the one to be the one to pay it back on his behalf. Amar of Ashi, Amar of Sheshes, V'asa l'kama l'dina, if this husband and his former wife, former couple, come to us for din Torah, loim is that the kinele. We will not pay attention to that din Torah. We don't want them to be together. Rapap Amar, not only won't we pay attention to that din Torah, shamuti m'shem tinele, we'll put them into cheirim for having come to into such a din Torah, for coming together to a din Torah. Rafuna b'reid v'shu'ama, negudi mami magidin lei. We will even put him into cheirim. However, points out to Ritva, it's specifically in a case where this is a this man and woman are a former couple. If they're not a former couple, we don't have to be so machmer. Amram Nachman, Tana, Be'evel Rabasi. We learned in Masechta Evel Rabasi, and Rashi explains that this is the Masechta which is known as Masechta Smachas. It's the Masechta that speaks about Hilchas Avelis, and the reason why it's called Masechta Smachos is because they wanted to use a euphemism. B'medvam Amurim, when is Alocha, that a woman who is married to a man may not come together to him for the entire, Kishnas Garshim and Nesuin, when they were married with Nesuin. Ava Kishnas Garshim and Erisin, if their relationship never went past Erisin, Nefra Aydeyatzmai, they could come together for the entire, Shein Liba Gaspa. They don't have that same level of familiarity that we need to separate them. Hahu Aris Verusasa, there was a kohen who was an Aris, and he had divorced his Arusa. Das Kamei de Rava. They came to the entire in front of Rava. Yosser of Adaba Master Kamei. Oika Ruva Shlicha Ben Asayu. Rav Adaba Master was sitting there, and Rava appointed somebody to be a Shliach between this couple. They shouldn't address each other. Omalei Rav Adaba Master, Vomer Rav Nachman, Tana Be'evil Rabosi. Haven't we just learned that this halacha only applies to a couple that had Nesuin? And this couple never had Nesuin, they only had Erisin. So the Gemara, Rava responded to Rav Adaba Masna, Kachazina de Kagais Be'edodi. I see that they're very familiar with each other. And since they're very familiar with each other, that's why I have to be more machmer. Ikedamri, Loi Oku Rava, Shlicha Ben Asayu. Actually, what happened was that Rava did not appoint anybody to be in between them. Omalei Rav Adaba Masna, Neka Mar Shlicha Ben Asayu. And Rav Adaba Masna suggested to Rava that he should appoint somebody to be here between this former couple, Amalei. So Rabbi said, there is no need, because as we just learned, Hama Rav Nachman, Tana Be'evel Rabasi, if this couple never had the suin, we don't have to appoint a shliach. Amalei, so Rav Adas said, Hani Mili, when was that Mishnah said, in Masechta Smachos, that Braisa, Heich de Logasi Ba'adadi, where they don't have that level of familiarity. Avahani Kochazina Luhu, the guys of Adadi, they're extremely familiar with each other. That's why we have to be more machmer. Says the Mishnah, V'elin Namanam Lahoyed B'Kodlam, there are certain people who are now adults that they could say Edis Mashura B'Kotten. Of course, we know that under normal circumstance, if somebody sees Edis when he wasn't a kosher aid, the halacha is that testimony is totally invalid. Teaches us our Mishnah that there are certain exceptions to the law, to this rule. Nema Adam Leimer, a person is believed to say, Zeh Ksav Yodesh Laba, as we've discussed many times in our Masechta, that there's a need for Kiyim Shtoris. So somebody could say that this is my father's signature, Zek Savyad Shal Rebbe, this is my Rebbe's signature. Zek Savyad Shalachi, this is my brother's signature. Even though he only knew his father, Rebbe, brother, when he was a cotton. As we just said, normally a cotton is not trustworthy. Here, because it's, as we're going to learn, Kim Shtar Sos the Rabbanon, and because they have this close relationship, he is able to say this testimony. And the Rishonim debate. The Ritva says, the Mishnah says, Zek Sav Yodi Shal Achi. So the Ritva says it doesn't necessarily mean only a brother. It means any relative. Whereas other Rishonim say it's only a brother that is true, that we can believe, not for anyone else. Zohar Yisi, another testimony, somebody who's now adult, could say about something that he saw when he was a child. As we learned earlier in our Masechta, that the Besulois would wear a certain type of veil when they went to the wedding. So he says, the Mishnah says, he could say testimony that I saw this woman wearing the veil, Rosha Perua, and her hair was uncovered, clearly indicating that she was a psula at the time of the marriage. He could say, Shaya is planning Yotzim Beis HaSefer, that this person was taken out of yeshiva, litvoil to go to the mikvah, lechel b'truma, in order to be able to truma, shahayu chaylikim on algarim, and then he would distribute that truma that he got to other kohanim by the warehouse. Another thing a person could say, makam azeh beis pras. The Gemara often talks about a place that's a beis pras. A beis pras is a field where there was a grave and it got plowed up. And the halacha is everywhere from where there was originally a grave for a distance of 100 amma in each direction, we have to be concerned that there's some bone fragments left. And therefore, since we have to be concerned about those bone fragments, that place is considered tamei. Why is it called beis pras? So one pshat is pras means broken. It's like we just said, we're concerned about the broken bone fragments. Another pshat is that pras is word for praisoisov. A person moves, walks, and people are limited in their ability to walk in this area. Another place that a person could say Eidus for what he remembers, there's Aloch of Tchum Shabbos. The Ad Kara Yidabon B'Shabbos. This far was the Tchum on Shabbos. At Aval En Adamem Leimer, a person is not believed to say, Derech Hoyel Pliny B'Makam Azeh, that a person owned property in this area, Ma'amenu Misper Hoyel Pliny, families used to own places where they conducted levayas. And a person is not trusted to say for when he was a cotton this type of testimony. And in fact, they sort of showed him ask, isn't it obvious? A cotton, if not for the special circumstances of the cases of our Mishnah, never has namonis. Why would we think he has namonis? So I sort of showed him respond that since these are things which are quite public, so since it's quite public, the truth will eventually come out, and therefore maybe we should be allowed to believe the cotton, teaches us the Mishnah that no. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Vuhu, this that we find the Chazawa Mekel, is their only Mekel, Shiesh Gadol Imoy. When he's saying testimony, it's not that they're saying testimony. Two people are saying testimony, that they both are saying testimony about what they saw when they were Ketanim. There has to be a Gadol with them. The Mishnah said that a person could say testimony about his father's signature, his Rebbe's signature, and his brother's signature. And the question the Gemara addresses is why do we have to have all three of those cases? A child is very often with his father, and that's why he can recognize his father's signature. Ava Rabbi Loi, he's not that often with his Rebbe. If we would hear Rabbi, Shem de Islay Imsa de Rabbi, and therefore a child has a lot of respect for his Rebbe, and he pays attention to everything that's involved with his Rebbe, including his Rebbe's signature. Aval Oviv, they don't have that kind of relationship with a father, Loi. V'yashmin Hane Tarti, if we only had a Rebbe and a father, Oviv, the Shchir Kabeh, as we just said, the father he's very often with. And Islay, and Rabbi, he has the fear. Aval Echav, when we speak about a brother, the Lislay Loiha Veloiha, there isn't either of those situations with the brother. Amaloi maybe ought not to be believed. Kamash Malan. Why indeed are we lenient? Says the Gemara. Kivan Kim Shtaris. The entire requirement for Kim Shtaris is only the Rabbanan. And therefore, since the entire Kim Shtaris is the Rabbanan, because as we know, Edim HaChasumim Al Shtar Nas commission nechre dusim bebezdin that midaraisa when we have a star presented midaraisa we consider it a completely valid document. This is only a chumah d'rabbanon and therefore himru rabbanon b'rabbanon. That's why Chazal were more lenient and said that we can rely even on a weaker testimony regarding Kiyum Shtaris. There's a machlokes rishonim, when do we say this concept? Taisa says that only when no one is contesting the shtar and we're being mekayim the shtar, so since the entire chiv, as the Gemara just said, of Kiyum Shtaris is only midrabanan, that's why we could be lenient. However, says Taisus, that if somebody's contesting the shtar, there we can't just be lenient, and we have to have proper edim to validate it. Rabbeinu Avigdor says a different pshat. He says, when the borrower is not in Bezdin, when the loiv is not Bezdin, for example, he passed away, since there's no one contesting the document, there's no chi for kim shtaris. However, Chazal required kim shtaris because they were concerned that maybe if he was alive, he would have contested the shtar. So since the entire kim shtaris at that point is only because of a chashash, so therefore we can use the kind of kim shtaris that our Gemara just described. But says the Rebbeinu Avigdor, well, when somebody's actually contesting the shtar, then we can't just rely on a kim shtaris that's a weak kim shtaris. However, the Azarua disagrees. And the Azarua learns the Gemara like the Pasha Pshat in our Gemara, which the Pasha Pshat in our Gemara is that kim shtaris Chazal were lenient with. And since Chazal were lenient with kim shtaris, they're lenient under all circumstances that this type of testimony, which normally is not acceptable, is acceptable for kim shtaris. We said furthermore in the Mishnah that somebody could say Zocha Yisib Eplonis, that he remembers this kala by her wedding, Shiyotza Binum of Rosh Perua, as all psulas go out, and therefore this woman is entitled to Ksuba of Messiah. Asked the Gemara, my time, why we're being so lenient, says the Gemara, Kivin the Rav Noshim Basulas Nusis. Most women get married as basulas, and therefore, since most women get married as a basula, therefore, Gila Milsuba Amahu. And as I saw, the Ran explains, the question of the Gemara is that normally we have a rule, Ein Holchim Mamon Acharoyv, that by Mamon we can't just rely on Roiv. But here, since most people do it, and it's something that's so public, it's only considered a Gilui Milsa, and that's why we could be lenient. We said, furthermore, that a person could say Edus, that he remembers as a child, Shai Pleni Yotzin Beis HaSefer, Litba Lechel Batruma. But Dilma asked the Gemara, but why is that something we could accept? Maybe Dilma Evet Kainu, maybe he's the Evet of a Kain, says the Gemara, Messiah Leila Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Dom Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Osul Adam Shil Medes Avdei Torah. Part of what he was saying about him was that he was learning Torah. And since he was saying about him that he was learning Torah, it's proof that he's not an Eved, because you're not allowed to teach an Eved Torah. But I saw that the Sefer Pinchas explains, we know that the Pasuk calls Eliezer Damesek Eliezer. And Rashi says, why was Eliezer called Damesek Eliezer? Doyla Umashke Metairis Rabbi. So he explains, what Rashi is trying to discuss is that here we're learning the Gemara, that one is not allowed to teach his Eved Torah. And there we find that Eliezer was Avram Avinu's prime Talmud. He was his prime student. How did Avram Avinu teach Eliezer Torah if we're learning now that you're not supposed to learn Torah? Answers the Beis Pinchas that that's what Rashi wants to teach us. He was Doyle Mashk Matiris Rabbi. A Rebbe is not allowed to go teach his Talmud Torah. But the Talmud, if the Eved on his own initiates that he wants to learn Torah, that is permissible. Says the Gemara that Eliezer was doyle umash, says Rashi, Eliezer on his own initiative, doyle umashkin Torah's rabbi, would come to learn Torah from his Rebbe. If it was done by his own initiative, then under those circumstances, an Eved is allowed to learn Torah. V'loy, ask the Gemara, is there no Eved that learns Torah v'tanya, loving man a rabbi? If a Eved that is acting like a free man, for example, an Eved that his owner borrowed money from him. Or his owner made him an administrator. Or he put on tefillin in front of his Rebbe, which tefillin is a mitzvah that avodim are exempt from because it's a mitzvah seishes man grama. And we know what halacha is, that avodim kananim have the same rules as women, and they're exempt from mitzvah seishes man grama. Or he shows them psukim v'beisa knesses. Or he learned three psukim. He's not that's not a proof that he's free. So we see that the eved learns. And says gemara hasam dekri eved midatoi. When is the eved? When is that? When the eved does it on his own initiative, and eved on his own initiative is allowed to learn. Ki kamrinin, what did we say that you're not allowed to teach eved Torah? The kanoig by minig banim, where owner takes his eved to yeshiva like he takes his children. We learned further in the Mishnah that a person could say eidus that he's a kohen because he remembers that he was taken out to live by lechel truma. But says the Gemara, the truma that we're discussing here, it was truma drabonim, which is either truma of chutz laretz or truma of different vegetables. We learned that he says, we got a shear by the warehouse. Ask the Gemara, why is the fact that somebody got a shear of truma by the warehouse a proof that he's a kayin? Maybe he's an eved kayin. Tanan answers the Gemara, because our Mishnah is following the opinion. One can never independently give truma to an eved unless his owner is there. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, we don't give truma to an eved. Elm Kain Rabbi Imai Diver Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Aimer Yachu Shiomer. Im Kain Ani Tanuli Bishvil Atzmi. If I'm a Kain, give me a truma. Because I'm a kohen, I'm ever kohen tenuli b'shvil rabbi. The case there is referring to a situation where a kohenis child got mixed up with her eved's child, and now this both of these children, we don't know which one is the eved and which one is the kohen. So Yehuda says we can't give either of them truma because we don't give an eved truma, and Rabbi Yossi says we do. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of their machloikus? Says Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda lived, if somebody got truma, that was used as a proof that he was a full-fledged kohen, and therefore they were very careful who they distributed truma to. And therefore, just because they gave him truma, they weren't concerned that anybody would assume that he's a full-fledged kohen. Tanya Rabbi Lozav Rabbi Yossi, miyamai loyharati. I never said testimony based on somebody getting truma by the warehouse. Says the Gemara, Pam Echas Ha'adati, one time I did say testimony, Ve'ela Eved Lakuna. And because of my incorrect testimony, an Eved was made into a Kohen. Ask the Gemara, Api Helu Sakadatach, could you conceivably say that he caused that a kohen, that an Eved should become a Kohen? Ask the Gemara, Hashta, when we speak about the animals of tzaddikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal al Yodam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them that nothing bad should happen because of them. Tzaddikim atzmam like Hoshkein. Certainly that's the case by tzaddikim. So, as the Gemara discusses, that the animal, or Pinchas ben Yoar, was prevented from eating tamai. So, how can we say that Rav Elazar caused somebody to there was ever to become a kohen? Says the Gemara, a bichshel house ever lekun al pi. It almost happened. Then there was siyata d'shmaya that it didn't. So the Tosfos in a number of places in Shas takes out this Gemara, takes out this Gemara from the Gemara, because Tosfos says this rule that the Gemara says ma behemtus shakadikim and a kadosh baruch hu mevi takol yodam is only referring to midat achila. When it comes to eating, that tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim, they shouldn't eat non-kosher food. But it has nothing to do with anything else. In other places, unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't protect tzaddikim to that degree. So I saw that the Chidor says, that the Pasuk says that as Noach sent out the Yoina from the Teva to see what was going on in the world, the Pasuk says, V'tava lav ha-Yoina leis erev, v'ine she was holding a leaf of an olive tree. And the Medrash says, Mehechen hivya mahara mishka. She brought it from Har HaZeisim. And the Chidah wants to understand why from Har HaZeisim. So, answers the Chidah, the Medrash says that the Yoinah said, Mutav she'e mezonosim merurim kezayis. It's better that I should have bitter food, v'yehei b'yotcha, but I should be in the hands of Hashem. V'ayim sukun kedvash, and they shouldn't be sweet like honey, v'hi b'as v'dam. So, says the Chidah. Our Gemara says that the Yoinah would have certainly never eaten the Zayas, because the Zayas had not had Trumas and Maestris removed from it. Says the Medrash, if the Zayas came from outside of Eretz Yisrael, explains the Chidah, they wouldn't have to take off Trumas and Maestris, because there's no Chiv of Trumas and Maestris on produce that grows outside of Eretz Yisrael. But says the Medrash, it came from Har HaMishka, it came from Har HaZeisim, which is an Eretz Yisrael, and the Yoinah did not have the ability to take off Trumas and Maestris. So because of that, the Yoinah had no choice but to only bring Ale Zayas, the leaf of an olive, but not the olive itself. The Pasuk says that when Eliezer met Rivka, and Rivka offered that the camel should drink as well. And the Pasuk says, when the gemalim finished drinking. So some Seifrik says that the question is, how did Eliezer allow the camels to drink, Rivka feeding them? The water didn't belong to Rivka. The water belonged to Rivka's father, Besuel. Says the Chasam Sofer, Eliezer said, if this shidduch, if this match is supposed to be, so certainly Besuel would have no problem that his son-in-law's family's camels should drink from his water. Says Eliezer, if I see the camels are drinking, it means that the camels know that this is water that they're allowed to drink, because they were the camels of Avram Avinu. They were the Behemtim Shal Tzadikim. And certainly they would have never drank something that didn't belong to them that they were allowed to drink. The fact that the camels drank was a proof to Eliezer that this was a match that was supposed to happen, and that's why they were allowed to drink this water, even though Besuel wasn't the one that gave them the water. Says the Michtav Eliyahu, what's pshat in this Gemara, Oma behemtun shel tzadikim, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi tekol al yodam? He says that Talmidei Chachamim are very involved in their learning. And since Talmidei Chachamim are so involved in their learning, it could happen that in their great involvement and learning, they will forget that they're touching or doing something they're not supposed to do, or they're eating something they're not supposed to eat, because they're so involved in their learning. Says the Michtav Eliyahu that's what the Gemara says. There's a special Shmira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the Tzadikim. Because says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Ma Behemtim Shal Tzadikim, that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the animals of the Tzadikim, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the Tzadikim themselves. Chazop, so the Gemara mentions, how did it almost happen that Rabbi Elazar ben Yosi caused that an Eved should be considered a Kohen? Chazop, he saw the Eved, Basri de Rabbi Yosi, in the place where Rabbi Yosi was the Rav, getting Truma. Because as we learned a moment ago, Rabbi Yosi held that just because somebody gets Truma, that isn't the proof that he's a Kohen. And that's why they gave Avodim Truma by the warehouse. But then he said the testimony, he said testimony where Rabbi Yehuda was the Rav, where there the fact that somebody got Truma is an indication that he's a Kohen. And that's how this mistake almost happened. Shemakam Zabes Pras. We also learned in the Mishnah, a person could say that I remember from childhood that this place is a base of pras. My time of why are we lenient? Says the one because base of pras, the rabbonim. Because really, the entire issue of a base of pras is only chumah the rabbonim. For as we've mentioned many times, a sofik tumah b'rishus rabbim, this is a sofik tumah b'rishus rabbim, midaraisa, sofik tumah b'rishus rabbim is tahor. Domar Yehuda, Amishmu. Menapuk Adam Beis HaPras V'Hoylech. A person could walk through the base of Paras and blow in front of him. He's going to bring a Karban Pesach. The only way he could get to where he needs to go is by going through the base of Paras. He could walk through and blow in front of him. If we have a base of Paras that was completely trampled on, Tahor. Why? My time is Shef Shaletzim Kasaira. If you have a small bone fragment, Shaloi Nidish Beregla was certainly trampled. We also learned that a person could say that he remembers from his childhood, At Kan Hayinu Boyim B'Shabbos. We've walked this far on Shabbos. This is the Tchum Shabbos. Why are we lenient? Because Kosover, the Tan of our Mishnah, is of the opinion that the entire halacha of Tchumim is only Midrabanan. And since it's only Midrabanan, we don't have to be Machmer. But he's not believed to say somebody owned this property. Why? It says, we can't make a person have to pay based on the testimony of somebody remembering something from when they were a child. A child is trusted to say once he becomes an adult, my father told me Mishpachas Utaira, this family's yichas is good. Mishpachas Utameya, says the Gemara, Tameya, with Tameya Sakadatach, he was speaking about yichas. What is the wording Taira and Tameya? Says the Gemara, what it meant to say was Mishpachas Utaira or Mishpachas Utkshera, Mishpachas Utpsul. He meant to say it's of good yichas or of not good yichas. And then the next thing he could say, Ochalna b'tzotzesh bas plenty plenty. Gemara will explain soon what that means. And he also could say, Sheyinu mechlichem chalam atanas l'plenty koyin, that we gave chalam atanas to this koyin, they atzmoy, we could only be trusted to say this when he was the one that actually delivered it. Avloy, we can't trust him when he says that he saw other people, like they acher, delivering it. Because if it's not he himself who was doing it, and he was a child, he maybe didn't really pay attention to all the details. V'kulan, em'ayv k'chavim v'nizgayir, in all the cases, if the person was a non-Jew, and then became a ger, ever v'nishtachar, ain't among him. The Brisa says, ain't nam and loymer, derech hayo plenty b'makam zeh, mam and mispar hayo plenty b'makam zeh, Rav Yochim and Breika, ayim in among him. Ask the Gemara, Rav Yochim Breika ahai, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Breka says namonim, regarding which case is he saying it? Ilema of the sefer, if we're talking about the sefer that the Tanakhama said that based on what somebody says from what he saw as a childhood, that this property belonged to such a person, we can't trust him when he becomes an adult. How could Rabbi Yochanan say we do trust him? Afuke meminahu, we're transferring assets. Based on this testimony, transferring assets can only be done through the testimony of a gadol. El Aresha, the Tanakhama says, "V'kol ma'ayav k'chavim v'nizgayir, evik chavim evid v'nishtache ein amonim." Says Rav Yochanan on that, but Rav Yochanan Breika, I'm in amonim. Says the Gemara, what's the basis of the machloikus of the Tanakhama and Rav Yochanan ben Breika? Says the Ma'akamifkli. Says the Gemara Tanakhama, saw v'kivim d'avik k'chavim who. Since he's testifying to something that he saw while he was on Avik Chavim, Loi Avadayik, he didn't pay proper attention, and we can't accept the testimony. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika Sover, Kivin the Data Liguri, since it was his intention to become a Ger, so already from that point forward, made the Kavadayik, he's careful to watch and know exactly what he saw and repeat what he saw. So we spoke about, the Bryce spoke about, Shochalnu Kutsotso Shabbas Pliny Pliny. Ask the Mike Tzotzo, what is that? Says my Tanabonu, Ketzak Tzotzo. Echman Achim Shinosu Isha Shayna Ganesla. If one of the brothers marries a woman that he ought not to marry, Boim B'nei Mishpacha, the families come, Omevin Chavis Malaya Paris, they bring a basket full of fruit, Vishayim Ma'isab Emtu Rechava, and they break it in the middle of the road, Boimru, Achenu Beis Yisrael Shimu, all other members of Klai Yisrael pay attention. Our brother married a woman who he should have not married. We don't want that the reputation, the bad reputation that he's getting, should affect us. Take from this an example for future generations. Shlo yizarev zarev bezareinu, that we have nothing to do with him. The zuik tzitza, and this the tzatza that we learned in the brisa, shatinik nemed lahayrelav. So why is it called tzatza? So one pshat that the mashal suggests is tzatza means a lower level. And this brother married somebody who's a lower level. Another pshat is tzitza. Tzatza means to break, and it represents the breaking of the barrel. But I saw a very nice pshat from the Sefer Likutei Bos Likutei. The Torah says that when the grass was created, the grass made the following conversation. If the trees that don't usually grow mixed together, each tree grows separately, the Torah still says, Liminehu, certainly us that can get mixed up, certainly should stay separately. Says the Likutei Bos Likutei. So what do we see is the characteristic of fruit, the characteristic of trees? The Liminehu, that they remain separate. So we take the fruit and we break it in the middle of the road to say that we want to separate. Just like the tree, one tree separates itself from the other tree, we want to be separate from this person who married a woman whom he shouldn't have married. Hanu lachi ishi shenas amala, hanu lachi ishi shenas amala, hanu lachi ishi shenas amala.